the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast today. I am your host, Dee Dee Mercer Moffat, the top dog at Raw Dog Food and Company. And today we are going to be talking with a long-term feeder, someone who's been feeding raw for a very long time, someone who's involved in pet health. And we want you to hear from her about her experience, and you're going to love this podcast. I think it's going to set a lot of your minds at ease. Those of you that are still on the fence about feeding raw, get over here. Step over the fence. You can do it. All right. Well, before we start the podcast today, you know I always like to start out with testimonials. All right. The first one comes from Miss Amber here in Colorado, and she says, "Can I say that your calamari oil is awesome? Even Picky Brat Boy is eating it since it smells like citrus and not fish." That is from Amber. She's the pet parent of a fussy Frenchie. Thank you, MC. Can't touch this. Woo, yes. All right, and the next one comes from Pam. She says, "OMG. I'm in love with your lactic acid yeast wafers." It's a supplement we have on our site, by the way. "My dog's yeast is finally under control. I am so thrilled." Well, we are so thrilled too, Pam. Thank you so much for those testimonials. We love you guys. Keep them coming. Send them right here to Dee Dee at rawdogfoodandco.com. All right. Well, let's get on with our podcast today, because you are going to hear from Drew Ann. I am so excited to have Drew Ann on the show today. Drew Ann, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Hey, listen, I know you got a lot of great information to talk to our listeners about today, but the first thing that we want to know is, how long have you been feeding raw, and why did you start feeding raw in the first place?
Okay, well, I have been feeding raw since 1999, so about 20 years. And I had at the time a Newfoundland who just didn't seem to be doing well on any of the kibbles that I had tried to feed her. And, you know, back in 1999, kibble choices weren't what they are now, so, you know, I was trying to find the best kibble, and she just wasn't doing well. She had constant soft poop, and just, I mean, she seemed to be growing okay, but I just felt like that wasn't quite right. And I had a friend who was feeding raw, so I talked to her, and then I got Ian Billinghurst's book, Grow Your Dog with Bones. And I read that, and then I read some other information and decided that I was just going to jump in and do it. In the meantime, I had I was raising dogs for a service organization, and I had taken back a dog I raised who came back to me with a pretty bad case of irritable bowel. And so they had him on a special Hill's diet, and I said, oh no, that's not happening. And so I also put him on a raw diet, and you know, one thing led to another, and everybody was doing so much better. And the boy that had the irritable bowel, he never had another episode of irritable bowel as long as he ate what I was feeding him. If he had anything commercially prepared, he would vomit. But other than that, he thrived for all the rest of his life on his diet. So, and so did the Newfoundland. I mean, she ended up having some autoimmune issues and some different things like that, not related to the raw diet, but I do think that helped give her a better quality of life.
Now, Drew Ann, you and I have been doing this for about 20 years, so sometimes we forget about the fears that people have in the marketplace. But you're in a vet clinic, so you see this a lot. But what are the misconceptions that people have about commercial dry dog food and prescription dog food?
Well, I think, and you know, from my own experience, the boy that had the irritable bowel, he also got cancer. And I remember, you know, the vet saying to me, oh, you're going to, you know, he's just immunocompromised and he's going to get sicker if he eats that diet, as opposed to here's our prepared diet. And just as an aside, if you read the ingredients on any of those diets, there's no logical person in the world that could feed that. I mean, it's frightening, but the biggest thing that people say to me is, oh no, your dog is going to get salmonella, or you're going to get salmonella, or you're going to cause some diseases in your house. And that, I mean, honestly, I'm sure you all have never been ill. We've never been ill. I used to, when I first started doing this, I was grinding raw meat and raw organ meat on my kitchen counter. And not one time did anyone ever get sick. Nobody got sick. And, you know, the dogs don't get sick. The people don't get sick. I don't know if I would say I'm really like a clean freak, but I do wash things, but I don't go overboard about sterilizing everything and, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's probably the biggest misconception. And then the other thing is too, is a lot of people are worried about balanced diets. You know, they want to make sure that everything is balanced all the time. And, I'm kind of the philosophy that it's not maybe balanced every day, but it's balanced over time. So, you know, like maybe one day you have, I mean, it's kind of like we eat, you know, some days we maybe don't eat any vegetables, but maybe then we make up for the rest of the week or we, you know, something like that. So that's kind of the biggest scare is that you're going to, you know, make your dog sick from the food.
Yes. And the vets do scare the pet parents because they will say your dog's going to cause your baby to get sick. It's going to cause you guys to get sick. And I encourage my pet parents, anybody who's listening to me, to ask for further information. Where is this information being documented? Have they actually seen a patient dog, or a person, do they know of a person that's actually gotten sick? And then what test did they run to determine that it was salmonellosis? Because it's very difficult to determine that. You have to really push back and ask for that information. And not only that, then you have to know, okay, and your vet needs to know where this particular person got their food. How did the family handle their food? Did they leave it sitting out in the garage? Are they certain that it didn't come from someplace else? Are they certain it was salmonellosis? So you really have to ask the questions. You have to push back. Don't just let somebody make a blanket statement like that without you asking for further information.
I've actually never seen, I've never seen any writing anywhere where anyone has gotten salmonella from raw feeding in their home. I mean, from maybe human processed meats, people will get that sometimes, but not raw feeding your pets. Or people are worried about, you know, oh, if their pet eats raw and then they lick you. I mean, that's silly too. Dogs go out and eat poop all the time and other stuff, and you don't get sick from that. So I don't know. I've never seen it written. I do know that that is one thing in our clinic. The ours that I work for don't feed raw. They don't push raw. They don't encourage it. if someone is feeding raw, they don't discourage it. And a lot of times they'll say, you know, they'll have the people talk to me. But I'm always encouraging people to do their research, to figure out what works for them, to not go into it, you know, blindly. Know what you're doing before you just take that jump in and figure it out. Because I think you have better success than you would if you didn't,
right.
You know. And obviously now with the blends, and I mean, that makes it so much easier than it used to be.
So true. The other question that I get is the raw diet complete and balanced? Because there is this misconception that dry kibble dog food or veterinarian dog food has more vitamins and minerals. Because if you turn the bag around, they're reading all of these different ingredients that they don't really know what they are, but they must be good because they've got that AAFCO stamp of approval on there. So, Drew-Ann, what would you say to our listening audience about this misconception that there is more vitamins and minerals in the dry kibble dog food?
I just think about the fact that all of that, so the food that we're feeding with the raw that is naturally processed, the meat is naturally reared, it has the vitamins and minerals in it as opposed to the kibble who has all the ingredients in the kibble has to be cooked within an inch of its life. So all of that stuff is gone by the time they cook it, and then they have to throw all those vitamins and minerals on top of the kibble, which, as we've seen recently with Hill's, they've had, you know, the gigantic recall with the vitamin D. And then the other thing, too, a lot of that you don't hear a lot about is the copper storage disease, which we're seeing more of that in the practice that I work in. And that's also a result of all that vitamins and minerals sprayed on and then sitting there and then the dog's not handling it. And it just takes longer to show up than the vitamin D deficiency. So, I mean, I do, you know, I do mostly the meat. Occasionally I do some vegetables and some fruit. I mean, Sundays is kind of our, you know, that's like our brunch day where we throw in our fruits and our vegetables and with the meat and things like that. And occasionally I do raw eggs and different things like that. So I feel like, and I do also add some extra fats to my dog's diets. But, you know, anybody who says something like that to me, I'm just like, you just need to read. And I send them to the publications where they're going to get the truth. Some of these other, like, veterinary journals where they have a lot at stake in, you know, holding that party line. And so you're not getting the full story when you hear about stuff like that.
So are you saying, Drew-Ann, that some of these articles that are out there that are written by veterinarians are slanted towards the prescription diet?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because we had a Hill's rep come into our clinic. It's been years ago. And he was touting all the benefits of some of their, well, in particular, a new weight loss diet that they had come out with. It was supposed to be magical and all these fat dogs were going to lose weight and everything was going to be perfect. And I said to the guy, I was like, how can these dogs lose weight if the diet is 85% carbohydrate? I mean, it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make any sense to me. And he then got really defensive, but could never answer my question. you know, for me, it was important. If I was going to have dogs, I wanted them to be as healthy as they could be. And that's the way I felt like it was. But you're right. Even the very best kibbles out there are not that great. When veterinary students are in school, they're only getting their nutritional information from representatives from Hills. And they're not really getting, and again, you know, it's about the money. I mean, they're making money by touting their food. And I think there was a hope that like Royal Canin would be a better food than Hills. But honestly, I have the opportunity to read those ingredient labels. And it doesn't make any difference whose name is on the bag. The ingredient labels are so much the same that it doesn't even matter. And they're coming out with all kinds of, you know, oh, neuro care and, you know, let's make your dog calmer with this kind of food. And seriously.
My thoughts exactly. All right. So, Drew Ann, you have a dog who was diagnosed with a glioblastoma tumor in his frontal lobe, a brain tumor, in February of 2018. He is a rough-ed dog, but tell our listeners what you are doing today, given that diagnosis. How are you helping him along with his diet, and what are you doing, if any, with the veterinary medicine?
He's a golden retriever, a breed very prone to cancer. And I was always kind of looking for that mast cell tumor or that hemangiosarcoma that I was expecting. I was not expecting the brain tumor. And he has been on a raw diet since he became my personal dog at a year and a half. So the other thing, too, for him is he has also been minimally vaccinated. I don't do heartworm preventative, and I don't treat for fleas. Because in Colorado, we don't really have fleas. But anyway, so I've been doing all that stuff for him all along. And then he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I decided that that was right about the time, right after the time that Karen Becker and Rodney Habib had done their dog cancer series. I decided to do a kind of a modified keto diet for him. I didn't test his blood sugar, but I did, and I had decided once he was diagnosed that I wasn't going to do chemotherapy. I wasn't going to put him through all of that. So we switched him. What I did was I tweaked his diet just a little bit. I increased his fat to probably about 50%. I started adding some complex carbohydrates. So what I did was I ground red cabbage and broccoli, and he would have that. And then I started giving him some triple mushroom complex. Those are supposed to be good kind of antioxidant cancer fighters. And then he has been on some traditional medicine. So he's been taking some Pred and some gabapentin because he has left side hemiparesis. So he's very weak on his left side. And so, but those are the two medications that he's been on. And he actually did really well in the beginning and kind of, you know, got better pretty quick to where I could wean him off his prednisone And then he started to kind of backslide a little bit. And so we've kind of been tweaking it. But I had a 2 to 4 month prognosis for this brain tumor. And it's been 13 months. So,
wow.
And you know, he's happy. He eats. I've been used, so some of the fats that I use for him are like heavy cream, which sounds really strange. And I remember when I first thought, oh, heavy cream, I don't know, that's going to give him diarrhea, but it didn't. And the, I use some hemp, and I've also used some CBD with him as well, which I think, you know, all of that has helped to give him a pretty fair quality of life. I mean, you've seen him at the pickups, and he's interested, and he's, you know, he always wants to come. You know, he can't do all the things that he used to do, and he's a little bit wobbly sometimes. He's lost about 5 pounds of body weight over maybe the last, well, he's been pretty stable for about the last 6 months weight-wise. But, you know, he's plugging along, and I feel like doing the diet, I think, as opposed to, you know, chemotherapy and a whole bunch of stuff, has given him a better quality for a longer period of time.
Well, I have a question for you. You know, I had a dog that we adopted, and he ended up after 7 years, almost 8 years, getting cancer. And as a raw feeder, I almost felt shameful. I was embarrassed to some degree. I was like, what? I don't get this. I'm feeding raw. My dog is not supposed to get cancer. But we can't really know their DNA, all of the different toxins that are in the world. But I just wanted to ask you, did you have that sense of, oh my gosh, you know, what did I do wrong?
I did feel like that. And I kept thinking, oh no, maybe I'm, you know, in the back of your mind, there's like a little piece of you, because there's so much pull to not do raw, and there's so much negativity about it from traditional sources, that then you think, well, maybe I'm wrong. And then I'm like, nope, I'm not wrong. You know, it's like, I am not wrong. But I did feel like that. But here's the thing, and this is kind of my takeaway from it. You can't control every aspect of everything that happens. So I have a neighbor who sprays his trees. I don't use chemicals in my house or my yard, but I have to live in the world. Is that why he got a brain tumor? I don't know. We had kind of a issue at the clinic where, we had a couple of dogs come in that were really flea infested, which is unusual, but with all the transportation of dogs around, we see it once in a while. And Schroeder started itching really bad. And so I had some Frontline, and I thought, well, I'm not having fleas in my house. So I used the Frontline on him. Did that make him have cancer? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, coincidence? Maybe. I'm not really sure. But I just try to, I think it's like the people who always live a healthy life and they do all the right things and they still end up with cancer. Sometimes there's a genetic switch that switches on for whatever reason. And you can't control that genetic pool. I have a friend who did a ton of research on golden retriever breeds, looking for the best breeder she could to get the healthiest dog she could find. And in her research, she found that there was not one line of golden retrievers that did not have cancer in it. So,
wow.
I think, you know, I don't know. So here's the thing about that. Like, I did have a little bit of guilt, but I don't really, because he's still here a year later in relatively good health, and, you know, hanging in there, living maybe not the life he might have lived if he didn't have a brain tumor, but still good enough quality that he enjoys things. My experiment is this litter of mastiff puppies that I had that have never eaten anything but raw. And so for them, I'm really interested to see as they progress in age through life, kind of how they do, you know, because they were, their mom has been raw fed since I got her at 12 weeks old. And she was raw fed throughout the entire pregnancy. And these puppies have been whelped on raw, and that's all they've ever eaten. So, and they're gorgeous, they're beautiful, they're healthy, they don't have skin issues. So I don't know. They're only 9 months old, so it's a, you know, it's, we're going to see. But I do think that there's a lot of things in the environment that we can't control, and that's, I think, why we're still seeing, you know, we're still seeing cancer and things in these dogs.
Well, sounds like you're doing a great job. And I know that today you have given a lot of pet parents a lot of hope and a lot of courage by sharing your story and your 20-year journey feeding raw, even working at a clinic that maybe doesn't support raw. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, Drew Ann.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for all you guys do as well, because without you, I would have a lot more work to do. Feeding five dogs raw, you know, that's a big job sometimes, and so I do really appreciate all you do.
Well, it is our pleasure, and it's certainly been a pleasure of having you on the podcast today, and I'll see you at the stop soon, Drew Ann.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.